Every now and then, somebody says something that is so powerful that it plays a role in how history unfolds. Got that? Sometimes somebody says something so powerful that it plays a role in how history unfolds. We're wrapping up a series today that we've been in the last few weeks, talking about a handful of those things that people have said that have been so powerful that they've impacted what has happened in their town, in their nation, sometimes in the whole world. But today we're going to wrap it up in a little bit of a different way. We're actually going to talk about the opposite of what we've talked about the last few weeks. The last few weeks have been about what happens when somebody hears something from God and they then share that with others. Today I want to talk about, what are the consequences when God gives us a nudge and we say no? See, I don't know if this is true for you, but I know this is true for me, that oftentimes I get a sense that where God wants me the most is where I want to be the least. I get a nudge that I need to reach out to somebody and have coffee with them, and I know it'll be a hard conversation. It's the last thing that I want to do, even though I know that it's what God wants me to do. Sometimes I have a sense that God would have me use my time or my resources here, but I'd really rather use them over here. What are the consequences when God gives us a little bit of a nudge and we say, you know what? I think I'm just going to go ahead and do something else. To get after that, we're going to look at maybe the most famous story that has ever been told about somebody saying no to God. But if all you know of the story of Jonah and the whale is from a children's Bible, you're missing the end of the story. You see, the end of the Jonah story isn't fit for children's Bibles. So today I want to remind you of the beginning of it. But then we'll turn to our big boy and big girl Bibles and we'll read chapter 4, which is a part of the Jonah story that you might not have heard before. We'll talk about the consequence of saying no. And of course, what I really want to get after is to give you a little bit of encouragement to say yes to whatever that nudge is that God has in your life today. Let me pray for us. God, thank you for this time that we have to spend together. Thank you for our time of singing and our time of hearing, our time of prayer, and now our time to look at some scripture together. God, I pray that you will nudge each of us during this time. Lord, that you'll help us to know where it is that you might be leading us, how it is that you might be leading us. And God, I pray that we'll be able to muster up some courage during this time together, to be able to say yes to whatever it is that you would have us do next. We pray these things in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's hard to believe that summer's winding down. Some schools started back this past week. Our son Boyd started the second grade on Thursday. Some schools are starting up this week. It's hard to believe. I don't know how your summer is rounding out. My summer rounded out in an unexpected way. I ended up rounding out my summer with a summer cold that I fought for about a week. Those are the worst. And the cold is gone. I'm no longer contagious. Baptism families, don't worry, okay? But in the aftermath of my cold, I developed a sinus infection, okay? I know what a sinus infection feels like. I get them frequently. I went into the doctor on Friday. I said, I have a sinus infection. I need an antibiotic and I need a steroid shot right here so that I don't lose my voice for the wedding this weekend and for the sermons on Sunday morning. They said, that's great. We still need to look at you. I said, if you need to look at me, that's fine. They got their instrument out. They put in all my orifices and all those things. They put it in my right ear. They said, things look great. They then put it in my left ear and the doctor said, you have a left ear infection. I'm like a two-year-old. What kind of 38-year-old gets an ear infection, right? So I walk out with a liquid antibiotic that tastes like peppermint and a little animal syringe to give myself an antibiotic. They said tubes are next. I'm a 38-year-old with ear infections. Okay. So I say that to say this. I don't know how your summer ended. Next week, we're going to talk about the rest of 2019, and we're going to start a series that I've been excited about for a while. But today, just really simple. I'm going to encourage you to take one step this week as you step into the fall. Just one step. And I don't know what the details of your step are going to be. But in general, here's what your step is going to be about. It's going to be a step from the known into the unknown. Think about this. You know stories like this. I mean, all of our great stories about heroes start like this. The hero, he or she, is in a situation where they're maybe comfortable, but even if they're uncomfortable, they're in a situation that they know. And then near the beginning of the story, they are nudged to go into a situation that's unknown. This is Luke Skywalker leaving Tatooine, okay? This is Katniss Everdeen leaving District 12. This is Frodo Baggins leaving the Shire. It's the hero in a place that is known to them, leaving sometimes on their own and sometimes being forced into a world that is unknown. If you're familiar with the Bible, you know all kinds of stories like this. This is Sarah and Abraham living in a known land at an old age, being nudged by God to go into an unknown land. This is David leaving the field with the sheep to go into the unknown world and to become a soldier and to fight Goliath. This is Moses stepping back into Egypt. If you know your history, you know all kinds of more recent historical examples of this. Some of you know about Catherine Drexel, who grew up in Philadelphia in the late 19th century. She was an heiress to a fortune. She was the object of the desire of many eligible bachelors. She had a great known world, but she also developed a heart for the Native Americans. And on a trip to Rome, she had an audience with the Pope. And she pleaded with the Pope, "Will you send missionaries to minister to and to help the Native Americans on the American frontier?" And he said, "Well, instead of me sending a missionary, why don't you become a missionary?" And she left the known world and she stepped into a brave and adventurous and scary new reality of being a missionary to the Native Americans. Some of you know about Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who his family was one of the first families to recognize what the Nazi regime was up to. They were skeptical of Adolf Hitler from the very beginning. He came to the United States in the early 1930s. He went back to early Nazi Germany. He then, in 1938, sought asylum in the United States once again. He secured a professorship in New York and lived a relatively comfortable life. But shortly after arriving in New York, he realized that he had made a grave mistake. And he felt God's nudge to get back on a ship and to go back across the Atlantic and to embed himself in the heart of Nazi Germany and to silently be a part of the resistance for upheaval in Nazi Germany. For being a part of that resistance, he lost his life. Our history, our Bible, our literature is full of stories of brave men and women who stepped from the known world into the unknown. But here's what we know. Our world is also full of far less famous stories of people who get a nudge from God and who simply say no. But if I'm honest with you, my life is full of those stories. Of that nudge to have that coffee, of that nudge to spend my time in a certain way. And of me either overtly or covertly saying no. What's the cost of that? What's the cost when God gives his people a nudge and they say no? To get after that, we're going to look at both of these stories. Let me just recap for you a story that most of you know. Most of you know the Jonah story, and the way that it's told in most children's Bibles is pretty accurate. It's just incomplete. This is my favorite children's Bible. It's called the Jesus Storybook Bible. If you have a child or a grandchild or you know a child, this is a great gift for a child, okay? Mine is all beat up. I would love to tell you it's because we read it all the time. It is in part because of that. It is also in part because my children throw it at each other from time to time, okay? Here's the way that the story of Jonah goes. Pretty simple. God comes to Jonah. God says, go to Nineveh. God says, I don't want to go to Nineveh for good reason. Nineveh was not a great place. They were enemies of the Jews, of the nation of Israel. Jonah does not want to go to Nineveh. God says, go to Nineveh. Jonah says, no. Jonah gets on a boat. I love the way this Bible portrays this. There's a dock, and there are two signs. One says Nineveh, and the other one says not to Nineveh. Because the whole point is it doesn't matter where he's going anywhere other than Nineveh. So he gets on a boat to not Nineveh. There's a storm, he ends up overboard, and then he ends up in a fish going where? To Nineveh. God says go, Jonah says no. Jonah gets on a boat going in the wrong direction. God gets Jonah in a fish going in the right direction. Jonah gets spit out of the fish onto the shore. God appears to him again. Jonah, go to Nineveh. Jonah begrudgingly goes to Nineveh. He gets to Nineveh. He proclaims what God told him to. The Ninevites repent and they are saved. The city was destined for destruction, but since they have now repented, thanks to what Jonah has said, now the city will not be destroyed. That is the way that the children's Bibles end. And they end with pictures like this. I know you can't see it, so I will describe it for you. Jonah being spit out of the whale, flying like a superhero, smiling. Okay? Mission accomplished. This is the way the children's Bibles end. In our big boy and big girl Bibles, Jonah is four chapters long. And it begins on page 859 in your big boy or big girl Bible that's in front of you in your pew, if you want to look at it with me. It's four chapters. The children's Bibles cover three quarters of Jonah pretty well. And then they don't touch chapter four at all. For good reason. You want to hear the uncensored version of Jonah? You want to hear chapter 4? Here's how it starts. But this was very displeasing to Jonah, and he became angry. What was displeasing to Jonah? The fact that God saved Nineveh. I mean, Jonah flying out happy that he has accomplished this mission and that God is saving the Ninevites is not accurate. He comes flying out. God saves the Ninevites. And Jonah was displeased and, in fact, angry. And this is what he prays to God. O Lord, is not this what I said while I was still in my own country? When I was in my known world, happy and comfortable, I knew this was going to happen. This is why I fled from Tarshish at the beginning. I knew that you're a gracious God, that you're merciful, that you're slow to anger, that you're abounding in steadfast love, that you're ready to relent from punishing. I knew, God, that you would do this. I knew that if I came here, that you would save these people, and I don't want them to be saved. Jonah is not a happy servant of the Lord. He never even said yes to this mission. God spit him out there and made him do it. And God uses Jonah, but Jonah is miserable. And now, O Lord, this is how miserable I am. Take my life from me. He's depressed. It is better for me to die than to live. And the Lord said, Jonah, is it right for you to be angry? Okay, it's a little bit of a side note. But have you ever heard the Lord whisper that to you when you've been mad? Oh, is it right for you to be mad about this? Well, Jonah does what we often do. He didn't respond at all. Jonah went out of the city and sat down east of the city. He went off by himself and he made a booth. That's a tent. He made a tent for himself. And he sat under the shade of that tent, waiting to see what would become of the city. Now, we already know what's going to become of the city. God's going to save the city. But you see what Jonah's doing, right? Jonah's sitting out there crossing his fingers, hoping that God will still blow this place up. He's still hopeful that God won't be merciful. He wants a God who is not desiring peace. He wants a God who will be vengeful. He sits out there hoping that God will destroy the city. Here's what God did. God appointed a bush, a tree, and he made it come over Jonah to give shade for Jonah and to save Jonah from his discomfort. Jonah was very happy about his little bush. But then when dawn came the next day, God sent a worm to attack the bush. Okay, it seems mean, but God's teaching Jonah something. He's teaching us something. So that the bush, it withered, it died. And when the sun rose, God prepared a sultry east wind, a hot wind. And the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that Jonah was faint. And Jonah asked that he might die. Then Jonah said, "It is better for me to die than for me to live." Again, Jonah is miserable. But then God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Again, and specifically this time, is it right for you to be angry about your little bush? And Jonah responds, "Yes, it is right for me to be angry. Angry enough that I should die. I am totally justified in my anger." And then the Lord said, and this is how the story of Jonah wraps up. "Jonah, you're concerned about your bush. And that's fine. I'm glad that you care about your little bush. That's fine. But let's put this in perspective, Jonah. You didn't labor for that bush and you didn't grow that bush. You did nothing to make that bush pop up. And that bush was only with you for one night and it perished the next day. You only had this bush for a little bit. I'm glad you're concerned about your bush, but now, Jonah, let me ask you this. Should I not be concerned about Nineveh, the great city in which there are more than 120,000 people? And they don't know what they're doing. They don't know they're left from their right. They don't know that they left me. They don't understand these things. Jonah, are you telling me that you should care about your bush and I shouldn't care about 120,000 people? And as a little aside, and also all the animals that live there. Okay. Do you see what's happened to Jonah's heart? You see, here's the thing. Jonah said no to God. And God still accomplished his mission. But look at what happened to Jonah. I mean, God still got his way. Nineveh was still saved. But Jonah's heart has withered and it has become dark. And it has become hardened. And Jonah is not happy that God has used him. Jonah is miserable. So let's just break it down in this way. Whether you say yes to God's mission or you say no to God's mission, God will eventually get his way. God's mission is going to be accomplished. I mean, Jesus is very clear. The gates of hell will not prevail. God gets his way. Whether you say yes or you say no, God will accomplish his mission. But if you say no, well, look at what happened to Jonah. You know, we all know the story about Jonah being on the boat. There's a storm, Jonah ends up overboard. But don't forget this. Jonah wasn't alone on the boat. When Jonah said no to God and he got on that boat, it wasn't just him who got caught in the storm. It was all of those people that were with him also. When we say no to God, yes, God ultimately gets his way, but it creates a mess for the people around us. And yes, God got his way, but Jonah in the end ends up miserable. When we say no to God, God gets his way, but we end up missing out. We create a mess for others and we miss out on what God has for us. But when we say yes for God, then we become a part of God's mission. And we find meaning in our lives. You see, I want to say yes to God's mission. And I want you to say yes to God's mission. Not because I'm afraid that it won't happen without me, but I know that it'll happen without me anyway, and I want to be a part of it. So let me just ask you this, really simple. What's your Nineveh? What's that unknown place that God this week might be nudging you towards? I mean, maybe it's something big like the examples that I gave earlier with Catherine Drexel and Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Maybe it's something big and bold. Or maybe it's something small like the examples that I gave earlier with coffee and with allocating time and resources. What is the known world that you feel like God is nudging you out of and towards something uncomfortable and something unknown? What is your Nineveh? And then, of course, the other question is, what's your not Nineveh? What is it that you find yourself going towards instead of going towards that place that God is calling you to? Where's he nudging you? And where are you getting on a boat towards? Look, I try to make it a habit to not ask you to do anything that I'm not going to do, okay? I try to make that a habit. My wife, Amy, and I, we are getting ready next week to step into a world that is a bit unknown to us. For the last 3 or 4 years, we have from a distance observed and respected what's been happening in our college ministry. Andrew and Sarah Beard, pastors here at our church, lead that. And unbelievable things have been happening, not only at SMU, but with college-age students at other schools and in the workforce. Friends, it's kind of embarrassing to admit this, but it has been over a decade since I volunteered in a church. I mean, I spent extra time doing things, but it's been over a decade since I was just a straight up, just show up and volunteer in a church. Starting next week, my wife Amy and I will be the newest family group leaders for the juniors at SMU. If you're a college student, you don't understand this. But if you're an adult, you understand that college students are scary. They're way cooler than us. And they have weird words that I don't understand completely, right? It's not a huge step. It's not Catherine Drexel. It's not Dietrich Bonhoeffer. But it is the step that Amy and I are feeling nudged toward this fall. What are you feeling nudged towards? From the known into the unknown. Our history and our Bible and our fiction stories are filled with men and women who are would-be heroes. And whether they accomplish that mission or not hinges on one thing. Do they say yes to the call to step into what is uncomfortable and to trust that God will lead them into that and through that? I don't know what your next step is specifically, but I do know that your next best step is a step into the unknown, it's a step into adventure, it's a step that may feel a bit courageous, it's a step that may feel hard. Your next step is saying your next yes to God. And I just wonder this morning, what's your next yes to God? Because your next yes to God is not just about you. Do you know what your next yes to God is? It's about being a part of what God is doing. Because, and I'll wrap it up with this, The greatest story like that that has ever unfolded is the story of God Himself stepping from the heavenly realm into the earthly world as Jesus on a mission to save the world, on a mission to heal the world, on a mission to experience all of the pain and the hurt that you experience, on a mission to feel all of that at the deepest level, and on a mission to redeem all of those things. That's the great hero story. It's the greatest hero story ever told. It's Jesus stepping into this world. And when we say our next yes to God, we are saying yes to being a part of His mission, a part of His work, a part of His work to heal our families and to heal our communities and to heal our cities and to heal our nations and in some ways to be a part of God's work to heal our world. That is the mission that God is on, and God will accomplish that mission. What an unbelievable honor that He invites you to be a part of it. Maybe it's something big. Maybe it's just a text message this afternoon. Next week, we're going to talk in more detail about the rest of 2019. But this week, what's that little nudge from the known into the unknown? And it is amazing what God is able to do with a simple yes from somebody like you. Give Him that chance this week. Let me pray for us. God, thanks for this time that we've had together. And God, I don't know what you're up to in each of our lives. I have no idea. But I know that you are calling each of us on a journey and sending each of us on a mission. Some of us, it may be big and bold. Some of us, it may be a simple mission to start serving in our nursery ministry. It may be that simple. Whatever it is, God, won't you give us the clarity to know where our Nineveh is, and the courage to be able to go after it, trusting that you want to use us as a part of your means to accomplish your mission. God, we love you. We thank you for the stories that you have told, for the way that you have used men and women like us throughout history, and for the ways, Lord, that you want to use men and women like us this week. We pray these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.